Only a fraction of the players participating in NCAA Division I basketball will be good enough to make the NBA. Some of the rest will play in Italy, some of them will play in Spain, and some of them will play in Iraq. Tamer El-Ghobashi recently wrote about that phenomenon for the Wall Street Journal. Tamer, welcome to Only a Game.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Your story focuses on Michael Kearse, and you say he brings a dose of swagger to pro basketball in Iraq. How does Kearse end up bringing swagger to a war zone?
Well, Michael Kearse has played in leagues all over the world, and before he arrived in Iraq 3 years ago, he had been playing in Lebanon. And he found himself without a new contract, and he was contacted by his agent. American basketball players had been trickling into the Iraqi Super League, as it's called, since about 2010. These teams are sponsored by ministries, whether it's the oil ministry, education ministry, the Ministry of the Interior, the police. These are ministries that are experiencing extraordinary cutbacks because of the fight against ISIS and the way instability in the country has reduced oil revenues. And yet, they continue. As one player, DeAndre Rice, said, he was astonished by the fact that basketball remains relevant, as he said, at a time when the nation is really undergoing an enormous crisis.
Kearse told you, "I thought it was going to be all bad with everything you see on TV about Iraq, but if he stayed for 3 years, it can't be all bad, right?"
Not at all. In fact, you know, I spoke to a number of players. They all uniformly said that their image of Iraq was of a war-torn nation that had none of the comforts of home. Now, granted, Iraq is going through its worst security crisis since American troops withdrew. But what they've experienced has been an Iraqi public that's very curious about them in a positive way. I've actually run into these players coming in at the airport, and you see a lot of the airport authorities, you know, after they stamp their passport, asking for a selfie with some of these American players.
The players do have some complaints, as I understand it, and it's not just the food and the lack of nightlife. How do they spend their free time?
Well, you know, they're pretty much confined to very modest hotels around Baghdad where they're looked after by the team staff. It gets very monotonous. So it's not necessarily the most comfortable life, but it's not at all the trying war zone that they had imagined in their mind.
The league in Iraq seems to be always trying to recruit new players from the U.S. Hey, you were there. If you had the skills, would you sign up?
Sure. I mean, look, if I had my choice, I would love to play in the NBA or even some of the more competitive leagues in Europe. But if I had few options and I was, you know, reaching the kind of twilight of my career, why not? And, you know, beyond that, it's just an extraordinary cultural exchange. Americans typically go there for some kind of diplomacy or maybe as military contractors, which Iraqis, I think, resent in a lot of ways because, you know, there is this element of making money off of their tragedy. Here, this is a group of Americans that are there to support a league that I think a lot of these Iraqi athletes really value, both for a livelihood and for the spirit of the game.
You can link to Tamer El-Ghobashi's Wall Street Journal story titled Iraq Basketball is a Far Cry from March Madness, but it's not all bad at onlyagame.org. Tamer, thanks very much for speaking with me.
My pleasure.